Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Harriet G. Walden. It's my joy to be on air. And guess what? I got a great announcement. Spring is here. It's just about here right now. Isn't this cool? I mean, we're not going to have a 30-degree weather day, even if we wanted to, because spring is here. So that's an announcement. But I'm just so grateful to be here. And I thank all my supporters, and I think it's the Virtuous Healing Circles now that's supporting mothers and help us stay on the line, on the air, because we really love it. So anyway, I'm going to just go right ahead for the local updates. And then after that, I have Miss Sherry Day on, and we'll be talking about the Better Day Solid Celebration for the rest of the show. All right, Mr. Rye, you got your updates here, and I know it's always lively. I'm always anxious to hear what you have to say.
Well, first of all, I want to say that my wife, Dr. Andrea Rye, has breast cancer, and she had her first radiation treatment today. We got 3 more weeks, and hopefully, Lord will bless her with some good health. So anyway, she found it early, and that was really important. The other thing is that a president of the Washington chapter of the National Association of Minority Contractors, Bob Armstead, will be hosting a Zoom call this week about some $50 million pilot program, part of the Infrastructure Act. And it includes houses of worship. It's a grant program where churches can get money to get money funds to upgrade their facilities to make them more energy efficient, like new windows, air conditioning systems, HVAC systems, and doors and things like that. It is a grant process, and my president, Bob Armstead, will be hosting that meeting. I've reached out to a number of pastors and got some significant interest in this, because very rarely do we see money that's going to be available for our community. But, you know, hopefully this will be something that can really help out. I did get a couple of calls where people, pastors and their designees have already decided how they want to approach it and how they'd like to use the funds. So any church members out there, or any of the people on the committees that look at the facilities at the churches, they can give me a call at 206-786-2763, or they can email me, which would be really good, because then we would have captured your email address to be able to send you the Zoom link. And that my email address is erye@comcast.net. erye@comcast.net. That's for Eddie Rye Jr. And so we want to make sure that our folks get their proposals in. And as I indicated, Bob Armstead will walk people through the process, and we'll actually have a representative from the Washington State Department of Commerce on the line with him, because they're the experts. The money is coming from them. And then there's another grant of $200 million. They're supposed to go to communities that were impacted by the war on drugs. Hmm. And we know that was the Black community was vamped from coast to coast, from border to border, in the war on drugs that started in 73 with Richard Milhouse Nixon, right after he had to leave the White House. It's amazing who started the war on drugs and then the person that started it. But there's a $200 million, and this will be allocated by counties. Corbett Mosley is a contact person in the Department of Commerce, and that also is a grant process, and people actually have to get in line, register with Corbett's office in the Department of Commerce to make sure. And that's also money for nonprofits, and I'm sure that they probably have some money for people who are doing professional counseling and things like that. But Corbett Mosley, Mosesly, in the Department of Commerce has that information. And Reverend Harriet, I'll get you that so you can have his actual contact information.
Okay. That's
interesting. So that we can pursue that, yeah. Because
these are federal dollars. It's coming to the state, or state dollars, do you know?
They're federal dollars.
Because it was nationwide.
I think the $200 million, I don't know if that is off the opioid settlement money, but I can find out as well.
Oh, okay.
I know it's there. And any disbursements yet? I just want to make sure that Black community is in line. And I know that King County and Pierce County would be the two largest grantees. We probably have the two largest Black populations, and also probably suffered the most severe of the war on drugs.
Oh, no, that's true.
You know,
That's
so
true.
there's probably no question about that.
Because when it was methanol, when the people was using meth, it was a different kind of benevolent treatment for those people who was using meth, and that was after the war on drugs. And everything else has been more benevolent, even with the opioids in there, and fentanyl. It's been a little bit more benevolent to people on some levels, but people are still dying from drugs. I mean, we have to be really clear. It
You
is
know, I
left.
had Seattle Fire Chief Harris Scoggins on Urban Forum Northwest last Thursday, and they have a new product that will revive people, but it also keeps them so they don't have the urge. And then it's another way they're trying to get people into treatment, which I think is great.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad that the school systems and everybody else, because fentanyl is everywhere.
It's everywhere. I'll have to get the chief on here, too.
Because they're talking about, well, you know, the grade schools, not the grade schools need to have it, too, because it could be a careless parent or guardian that allows things to happen. And, you know, it's oftentimes we hear about little babies and people on public transportation inhaling the stuff without, you know, having any knowledge that has been in use on in that particular area. I've heard about both the Metro buses and Sound Transit where this has occurred. So people have to be on guard.
Well, that's a good program. I mean, that's a good program. I think the mayor mentioned that the other night at the safety meeting that the mayor had downtown at his public library. And the chief was there, too. I said, I'm glad that this is happening. And I'll have to get the chief on here to talk about that also. Thank you for that. That's real good information. Our community needs to know about it because our community is suffering from this fentanyl, and it's everywhere.
It is. There's no question about it. Yeah. And the fact that they can have something that can revive a person and then have them lose their addiction, they're having to have it right away, allows for people to actually get in treatment if they so desire. But if you have that addiction, you have to cure the addiction problem before you can think about treatment. So this new product that they have, and I can't pronounce the name of it, but it is available. And I think if anybody calls any fire station right now, they probably can get that information.
Right. Well, that's good news. I mean, because we have created a society where people don't want to leave, don't want to be here. They want to escape. Escapism is all this is, and it takes a lot to be in the body with all this stuff that's coming after us all the time. Always something that's coming, and most time it's not positive. So we need positive news sometimes, something good. So this is good. I mean, especially for people who actually using it, and then people who work with it, because a lot of times I've heard people who work with people who are using has had to go to the hospital too.
That's right.
Because you know, it's such a lethal, it's so lethal, this drug is. I mean, they all are killers, but some will kill you a lot faster than others will. So
And I'll tell you one thing, that fentanyl is really taking its toll on people. So
And it's all ages. It really is all ages. And you know, like you say, babies have gotten in contact with it, and all of that. So it's another way for this system to stay in place, because when you don't try to clean it up, don't try to create another system where people can have the things that they necessarily need, just the basic needs, then you have a society where people are living in sorrow and that type of stuff, trying to leave the planet. So that kind of stuff. Well, do you have any update from the Black Congressional Caucus? You were trying to get some information and working with them. You have any update with them?
No, I'm still waiting to hear. I'm collecting information. What we have is a white contractor, who falsified his self-certification. And as a result of him falsifying his self-certification, he received over $200 million in trucking contracts while the Black truckers are parked idle. And the sad thing is, Attorney General Bob Ferguson's office saying is that, okay, and told the folks in Department of Enterprise Services and Office of Minority and Women Business Enterprise, even if you put this in, the guy's been suspended off the program for falsifying his information. The Attorney General is saying he can reapply now. Now, you somebody commit a crime and they get to reapply? Is that white privilege or is that what? So anyway,
it's European privilege.
Anyway, so Congressman Thompson wants me to get the information, which Elton Mason is getting for me. And he got through a public information request from the state. And the information is also available in the Office of Minority Women Business. But it's just absolutely amazing how Black truckers are not being used. Black businesses are really strictly being undercut with all the opportunities in Washington State. And Democrats in charge of everything. I just have to sell it like it is. So Congressman Thomas said, you mean to tell me Black folk in Mississippi are doing better than Black folks up in, way up there in the Northwest? And don't you live in a county named after Martin Luther King Jr.? Y'all ain't getting no business? I said, sir, we need your help. So, you know, we did have a letter. And we filed a formal complaint with the feds.
Oh, yeah, we did.
2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years,
almost. Yeah, going on 3 years.
2 years ago, because your name was on it, Rev. Marriott.
Yeah.
And they told us the complaint was being sent to the Department of Transportation. And we, another letter went in October. One went in November 23rd, 2021. And in 2023, in October, Bob Rumsfeld, our local president, and Wendell Stimley, the national president of National Association, sent another letter. And in that letter, they included letters of support from Congresswoman Marilyn Strickland, Congressman Brock, Adam Smith, Senator Patty Murray, and Congressman Benny Thompson. And they still said, and had Kristen Clark, the sister associate attorney general, sign the letter, you know, racial discrimination is just not in the Department of Transportation. It was in all the agencies. But any, once again, and I actually had a chance to go nose to nose with Secretary Pete Buttigieg during the Black Caucus in 2022. And he said, oh, we're looking into that. And he didn't know what I was talking about. Anyway, obviously, no one is not looking for anything because it's discrimination against African descendants of the United States enslaved. And, you know, I still have these, you know, one person in the know, supposed to be a federal official. Well, I just want to get your impression. Why do you think African-Americans should receive preferential treatment? I said, sir, 250 years of slavery, 100 plus years of Jim Crow, dying in every war, including in segregated units. And you said, we haven't earned our way yet? You call that preferential? It's a lot what a lot of other people in this country's done. And we've fought in wars of free people who are doing better than us because they have countries. You know, they try to compare us. Well, you know, the Ethiopians are doing well. Ethiopia has a country. They have the airlines. They have a treasury. All the Ethiopians are not poor. I mean, you know, I'm working right. I work with all folks. You know, I have an Ethiopian business association I'm working with right now. And they're still, when they see him, before they know he's Ethiopian, they know he's Black. So he still have the same problems as everybody else. And so that's something we all have to work through. But the sad thing is to have people like Ed Blum and who has, and as a matter of fact, Jesse Weinberry on the winner, Washington Equity Now Alliance, they have on their website all the dastardly deeds that are being performed by Ed Blum, who is trying to keep Blacks out of colleges, Stephen Miller, who used to be with Donald Trump, wants to make America white again. And he's Jewish. He'll never be invited to Charlottesville. But at the same time, I guess you get bonus points for hating Blacks. And maybe that's what's happened going into other races in this country. Because now I'm hearing about a Black woman being stabbed by somebody that's Hispanic because they don't like Black people.
Yeah, that guy has been arrested.
Down in
know?
Los Angeles, where my son lives, same thing down there. You have groups of Latinos attacking Black folks, and I can't figure it out. Neither one of us is doing that well, and I don't think that we're.
This is what racism does. This is what racism does. I mean, it causes you to hate the other. It has no rhyme or no reason. I mean, it's all made up. I mean, it's like the people who brought this to the world are really the Europeans, who the colonizers. I mean, they brought this. They colonized people, and that energy is still going. But what's going also is that we have to focus on the good on the other side. There are good people helping us work right now, and that's what keeps us going.
Talking about that's why I continue to walk across racial lines always.
That's there. Right, you know. So this is
Martin Luther King was a big tent, but people don't understand doing it well. How come all the minorities? In 1960 something, all the other minorities wasn't here. Okay,
Well,
That's
that's
what
right. That's that story we have to continue
not
to tell.
here.
You know, they weren't here.
Well, but Martin Luther King, but the Japanese American Citizens League was with the Civil
Well,
Rights.
they were there. I mean, but most of the other groups, like you say, wasn't here or they wasn't active involved with us. But Mr. Wise is always lively. I always appreciate it, and we always leave on something good. And I know that there's good happening for you, for your wife, and we have to continue to believe that. Otherwise, you know, like you say, we would be bankrupt if we didn't believe in hope. So,
And I'll share that information with you too. So if anyone calls you
okay,
about the
all
infrastructure
right,
funds to
that.
upgrade the churches, houses of worship, I'll make sure
Okay.
you get that too, Rev. Harriet.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you
I'll
very
take
much,
it.
Reverend.
You're welcome. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show at 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I'll be right back. Thanks.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for wisdom and wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 11:50 a.m. KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. I call my name. Sometimes I shortcut and go straight to Reverend Walden, and that's cool. You know, I love spring. You know, it's like, you know, they say you spring forward. It's like spring is sprung, and you feel like, oh, man, like those little bunnies out there, that Miss Day. I'm going to bring my next guest on, Miss Shirley Day. It's a Sherry Day. I've been knowing it for a while. She's true transparency. She's on Mother's Board, but she's going to be talking about, we talk about an event. But I'm feeling like those little rabbits out there spring hopping because spring is here. And you got daffodils out, and they wave with daffodils, and they wave at me, and they so happy that it's spring, and I'm happy that it's spring coming too. So welcome, Miss Day. I think you're the first time. It's the first time you've been on Mother's Justice Show, isn't it?
Oh no, I think
no,
this
I
is
think.
about the second or third time.
Okay, so
At
yeah,
least the
but,
second,
okay,
yeah.
okay. Well, maybe when you were at first place, you were on for a little bit, because
Yeah.
I've been on there since
Yeah, and then when
2014.
I was at AFSC still.
Okay, yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but this is good. It's so good to see you.
It's good to see you too. I
Oh
thought of
yeah.
you early this morning because I went out and finally we're starting to get some daffodils up.
Oh yeah.
And I know how you love yellow and you love spring.
Oh
I
yeah.
love spring too, but I have allergies and it
Oh
challenges
yeah.
my
Oh yeah.
ability to enjoy it as fully as I would like. But I'm a spring baby,
Yeah,
so
you are. You got a birthday coming up next Monday
I
or Tuesday.
do. I do, right on
One
the
or two.
cusp.
Yep. Oh yeah, you know, but you know, as my last guest of, you know, Mr. Reich, he's been doing this work a long time, and he has been. I mean, he has lots of contacts and know lots of people and stuff. So been trying to get some more doors open for us to continue. I mean, you know, like we always say, Washington State is, I call it the Mississippi of the West, because
Yeah.
it's hard for us to get a foothold here, and they take people business away from them. I'm one of those people. So, but we also, yeah,
Yeah.
on the other end of that spectrum, this life goes like the daffodil. It comes back and it's
Keeps
eternal.
coming back.
It keeps
Yeah.
coming back, and that's what
Yeah,
this is about.
I have to say though, in terms of like Pacific Northwest history, we're not as bad as Oregon.
Oh,
You know, we can always find another place, you know, as Black Americans, you know, to know that we are unwelcome in other places because that whole state was a sundown state.
I was today, and it was even after the
Yep.
Confederate. It was after the Civil
Yep.
War. Everything was that people were, you know, the Negro was a link. Lincoln had signed the paper, and they were migrating at first, you know, because of the
Yep.
Missouri Compromise. They couldn't go past Missouri,
Yeah,
and
but
then
Seattle
after,
benefited from some of those pioneers
right.
that were going to stop in Oregon and were told to keep on moving.
George Washington, George Washington
George
Bush.
Washington
That's
Bush.
why you got the state
That's
of
right.
Washington. You know,
That's
had not
right.
been for that Negro, I mean,
That's right.
the Canadians wanted it also. Canadian
Yeah.
wanted to be part of the Canadian territory. They wanted to
Yeah.
be part of the Vancouver. It would have been part of
Yeah.
Vancouver, you know,
Yeah.
or you'd have been part of Oregon. See, it'd have been because
Mm-hmm.
two, one territory wanted, Oregon wanted, and then Canada wanted it. So, and George Washington Bush prevail,
Yeah.
and we're grateful.
Yes.
And then that made William Gross to be able to come and buy the 12 acres for the central area.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's your right. House, your home.
My home place up on 32nd and Union.
That was part of that 12 acres. Yeah, I'm sure that was part of the 12 acres. Yeah. And that 12 acres that William Gross brought, see. So, and all of this, you know, one thing about the mighty African, I mean, what people say is that although we've been gone almost 500 years, we're still African. I mean, even if we never get there, the drums still beat in our hearts because that ancestor, I mean, that ancestor, that mother that gave birth to us, I mean, who came by bondage and stolen and never knew peace again. Never knew peace again. We are here. And we made a mighty contribution to the world.
Yes.
All around the world. I mean, on every continent, the Caribbeans and all the places where we were taken to go to. I mean, of course, it was dark and black Indians already here. Black people was already here. I mean, according to Ivan Van Sertman and all the work, because we people the world. And so we've been we have been here. And if our archaeologists would tell the truth, it would be a different story. So so we keep celebrating. We keep celebrating and giving grace for a better day. So our topic is about the better day.
Segue.
And I think what we're doing, it's good to bring it back. So you've been part of the better day. So you might want to tell a little bit about what the better day is.
The better day is based on this idea that at some point, some enslaved African in our lineage, in each of our lineages, looked up at the stars and knew that a better day would come. If he or she never saw it, that his progeny would see it, his descendants would see it. And we believe that each and every one of us holds that kernel of the better day within us, just as we hold the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So the Better Day Conference celebrates that. I was thinking when Reverend Walden asked me to come on and speak with her about the Better Day celebration this year. Mm-hmm. It's not a conference this year. What first comes to mind for me is a quote. I want to say it was Maya Angelou, but it could have been someone else that said that, and I'm paraphrasing, self-care for women of African descent is a revolutionary act.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we don't give it to ourselves. It's a gift that we don't give to ourselves enough. And what I've experienced with the Better Day Conference is just that type of experience. It's not a spa treatment. It's not a massage. It's not a mani-pedi. But it is something that can feed your soul. Because we have a chance to research and discuss and learn about our descendants. And we have music and, well, we have had in the past, we have always had music and food and just celebration.
Right.
So that's what the Better Day activity is about, presented by the Family Empowerment Institute.
Yeah, and this time it's going to be with the Virtuous Healing, the Virtuous Healing Circle. Because we have to reinstitute the institute. It got it like
wonderful.
That. Yeah. So, but the idea is so, you articulated it so well. It is a celebration because, you and I both share history buffs. You sent me little clips of stuff like the Confederate Constitution that said that unlike the other Constitution, the Negro would always be subordinate to the white man and will always be a slave in the Confederate States. And so I didn't know that piece. You sent that to me about 6 weeks ago or less than that. So, but what we do know in all of this is that going back to the 1400s, the Catholic Church, the priests, the Pope of Nicholas V said that that the Africans was infidels, did not have a soul, and they would be enslaved. They would be in perpetual servitude. And perpetual servitude means perpetual suffering, and that has been handed down. And as Mr. Rye was talking about, he was talking about suffering. And we have to change that energy.
Right.
We have to change it to perpetual joy. The world was created to be in perpetual joy. So, and we've allowed all these systems to believe that since we're not human, then we are not, you know, we're not part of the human family, then we're supposed to suffer. And that's been an idea that has been sort of like internalized by people, because we've known no safety, no peace since we got stolen. We've known that
no safe space.
And that's right, no safe harbor. And once, when I was up in Canada, I used to go up to the Kootenays, up to Nelson, British Columbia, to study up there with a group of people. Drive up 395 from here, from Spokane, and up. But when I was in Nelson, it was the first time in my whole life that I felt like safe. And I'm saying, oh, this is what these people feel like, to feel safe. I mean, it's like a different blanket you put on when you have safety. I mean, because see, we're always on fight or flight, no matter where we are. We're on fight or flight. There's that internal thing in us. It's always, we're always looking around. We're mainly supposed to be, because that's how we stay alive. As Mr. Ivory was talking about the young lady that was taken off the bus in Kent, it came to my experience this morning. I didn't know about it. And the suspects have been, one of them has been apprehended. It was a hate crime, taken off the bus. And she was just riding. She was just being Black in the world, riding the bus. And her Blackness, and
it's such an offense. Our Blackness is such an offense to some people.
And these individuals, I guess they might have been Latinos, and that's what Mr. Rye was talking about. And drug her off the bus, and I harmed her. You know, tried to kill her. And praise God, the ancestor says not right now. But one of the suspects has been charged and has been arrested and charged with a hate crime. This repeats for us. Yeah. And then in the midst of that, we try to find joy. In the midst of these activities, and you remember, what was the name of that play we went to meet and see about the Boston, the doctor he took the person and made something out of his skin. Remember, he made something out of his skin.
Yes.
They made a monument to him. The monument was made to this gentleman. It was a doctor who did this after the human being that was not expected to be.
Fortune's bones.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we have to look it up until we come back on and talk about it another time. But this is what we've endured to see. I did not know about the seasoning process, but we still, throughout the seasoning process, children were still being born. And they was being sold or whatever, and those parents. I mean, my grandmother's father's mother had, I mean, several children, and they were all sold, except for the one that was fathered by the owner, and that was my grandmother's father. And they said to my grandmother, see, she was dark as night, you know, so she might have been from the Congo. She was dark as night. And so we all have this intersection. Most of us have intersection of European American blood in us, just of because of the circumstances. And some of us have intersection of Native American blood. And, you know, we got all of it in there. But the original mother to all of us on this continent that was African. Well, it was an African woman. And we could presume in the 1700s, 1600s, the father was Black also. If not, the baby wouldn't have lived. So we have so much out of all of this. We have so much to celebrate.
Yeah.
We do. I mean, we just our pure existence. And Sister Risha Day had a conference this past weekend. The Penitent Institute of Ancestral Healing was a conference this weekend about the ancestors and and healing in a different way, but acknowledging also the contributions. And her great 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 grandfather went to Yale in 1838. I mean, he ran away slave, went to Yale, finished, and they didn't give him his papers. And then now in this time zone, they were using his papers and advertising something about it, and they didn't do a search of whether he had any descendants. And and he wrote in his book that his book would be finished by descendants unborn. And here she was, one of those descendants. I mean, so this ancestor, I mean, it's really real. And so that's why I'm excited about them. But because it all ties in, you know, we've suffered and we've seen, we saw Harriet, and we've seen some of these other, roots and all of that. And then some of our ancestors even gave us counts of stories that was handed down to them about the degradation. But it's very few stories of joy. You know, I can imagine that they said after slavery, men went looking for their families, you know.
I was just reading an article about this, that a lot of the first freed men who ended up in prison under the 13th Amendment, after the 13th Amendment was passed, were imprisoned because they were wandering the streets in the same areas over and over again. They would just make these circles and they would go back and forth, and they'd be, you know, talking to everybody they could talk to, trying to find their families. And people began to complain. Oh, this Negro, he keeps walking past my property and he's always, you know, bothering us, wanting to know where his people are. We don't know where his people are. And then they would arrest him and they'd end up, you know, back in a new type of slavery.
Right.
Under the 13th
Amendment. The peonage.
Right.
Remember the peonage?
Right.
And it was disappeared. And until the 50s in Mississippi, and some of those places are probably still going on in the Delta. You know, people go to a store and don't come back. You know,
right.
Then they put them to work sometimes,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But my emphasis, I want my emphasis to be on the fact that as soon as those chains were broken.
Yes, that's right.
We began looking for our people.
Our family. Mm-hmm.
Some of the first acts that we did were to get married.
That's right.
And settle into a family structure.
That's right. The family structure.
And to vote.
To vote.
To register to vote, even if it meant our lives.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. And those are the things that we celebrate. We celebrate and the courage. And the courage, because all the people who marched on the Pettus Bridge already knew that they might die.
Yeah.
They were trained. They were strong enough to know that this could be their last march on this side of the veil.
That's right.
On this side of the veil, it could be their very last one. They might not get a return visit, not in this body, you know, not in this time zone. You know, I mean, the amount of courage you had to have.
To participate in a system that said, we don't want you.
That's right. That's right. That's
you know,
right.
That, That's that, right. That continually said over and over again, we don't want you here.
Right.
We brought you here, but we only want you for our purpose. We don't want you here to really fully participate, even if we do pass laws to say that.
We don't mean the laws. We just pass them.
Right.
But
right. We want, because we want to make sure that historically we look good. Right.
Yeah, the preamble of the Constitution that man was created equal.
Right. We met landowning men.
But see, there's a higher power here. And
and
what has always got us through is a belief in a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
It was that belief that my grandmother said God was on our side because we were righteous people. We never did anything to harm You never did anything to harm the people who've harmed us. I mean, now you got situation, but really, I mean, what coming out of end of slavery, you had armed militias in South Carolina and North Carolina, and we outnumbered the people 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they opened the door for Manifest Destiny to bring in people from, you know, the people of the West and to bring people in. But our population was such, we outnumbered them.
And, you know, so much of the time, if you really look into the origins of some of the things that went on, for instance, the land grants.
Right.
Originally, the plan was to give those to freed slaves, those lots of land that ended up all across the Midwest. You know, they did those races and people would go to, you know, grab their plot of land and claim it.
Right.
That was originally meant for freed slaves.
Wow.
But there was such a force in this country that said, no, we're
not
going to allow that.
That's right.
And we're going to bring in as many people as we can.
That's
at that time, immigration was a wide open door. When these people talk about, You know, oh, so-and-so wants to see, you know, open immigration. No, open immigration has always been on the side of white supremacy.
Right.
They wanted to be sure that, and actually, I mean, quiet as is kept, if you go back and you look at some of the ways in which the Republicans just in the last 10 years have talked about immigration, they have talked, and Donald Trump was very loud about this. Why can't we import Norwegians? Why can't we have immigrants from Norway? You know, and Sweden and places like that. But they're not trying to help Haitians.
Oh, no. I mean, they're not trying to
help people from Africa who may need sanctuary.
No, they're not human.
You know,
again,
they're not.
And they're not human. And that is the battle that we've been fighting. And I just read where the governor of Florida is sending troops down to make sure Haitians can't come in.
That's right.
You know, and that type of stuff. But Haitians have been here before. I mean, to do work and stuff like that. So
sure.
But again, it's not our fault that other people don't see us as human beings.
No.
Because of the first people that's ever made on the planet and people of the world. I mean, and that's just so wonderful about history. Like Ronoco Rashidi would say, it's so wonderful that history will bring it up for you. It's almost like when it unearths itself, it's like, you know, I mean, you know, you're throwing up. I mean, you know, something is then hidden and you're bringing it up. And that's what that's what history is. And that's what celebration is, because then you bring it up and things get to look different. Let's take a break right here and come back.
The joy of survival.
That's right. The joy
is what we can complain. That's what we can claim.
That's what we can. Yeah, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to survive the break, and we'll be right back and continue with the joy. This is Mother's Justice Show at 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. We'll be right back to talk about some more joy.
The Mother's Justice Show is brought to you by H.G. Walden and the Virtues Healing Circles. Join us for Wisdom and Wellness with Reverend Walden, a monthly virtual and in-person healing circle that focuses on community healing and growth. Learn more at virtueshealing.com. That's virtueshealing.com. Also, be sure to join our healing group on Facebook. Again, visit us at virtueshealing.com today.
Good afternoon. You're listening to the Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM KKNW. I'm your host, Reverend Walden. Sometimes it's Reverend Dr. Harriet G. Walden, but on the end, it's always Reverend Walden. So thank you for listening to the Mother's Justice Show, and bring my friend, board member and longtime community organizer together, Ms. Sherry Day. Thank you for Sherry for coming on. She's also a historian. I mean, she loves history. She's an artist and a brilliant writer, a brilliant dive. She wrote the first contract on a chartered school in Washington State, and it was first place, and it was granted the first charter. It's not there anymore. It's another type of school, but you wrote that contract first time ever, and it was accepted, and so you're brilliant. Always went, and as a brilliant artist, always want to inspire. And also, she's a musician. She went to Cornish, y'all. She did. Yeah, so all that brilliance that we're talking about, what ancestor brilliance? And I'm talking about a better day conference, a better day celebration, getting ready for the conference next year. And you're here to help me talk about that better day that we're just so excited about. We're part of that better day, you know, and you got a nephew and some nieces out there that's part of that better day.
Yeah, and they're all so brilliant.
Yes.
And just becoming so successful. And they're all just reaching higher and higher heights of education and academia and artistry. And they're just so creative. It's just amazing to watch.
That wonderful. And this Better Day celebration is this Saturday, y'all. March 23rd at Garfield Community Center from 11 to 2. And it's going to be a celebration of drumming, libation, and we're going to have some genealogy information. Going to end with a healing circle there, and that 2 hours is going to go by fast. We'll have some refreshments and that type of thing. Carly Fani is going to do some drumming and the libation. He does that often in the community. And so we also have an event on Facebook that you can go there and also register to be part of that and part of our Better Day celebration. It is a better day. It's better than our ancestors had. It is a better day. When people say nothing changed, although we heard a variety of things that Mr. Rye was talking about, some of the things that we're talking about. But in the midst of that, babies are still being born. You know, I mean, grandmothers in some places are still making quilts. I mean, man, you ain't making no quilts, but you're making beautiful art.
Quilts have a tendency to keep recurring in my mind as I think about the work that I do.
Because your work, you got some really nice art that could make some nice squares, you know, I mean, or hang wall hanging and that type of thing. But see, the creativity is still coming forth. Yes. Our creativity as African people living in America is still coming forward. You know, I mean, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. There's something about this. It's like almost like a tumbleweed, but also, you know, what keeps popping up in your yard? You cut your yard and those are...
Oh, the daffodils the hyacinths.
Yeah, but also that grass, you know, the grass keeps coming back.
Oh, Lord. The moss grows faster than the grass. Because we are in Seattle after all.
Oh, yeah. And so it is the recurrence of life. You know, it is the death, the resurrection, and the rebirth and all of that. And that's what we are. We are the people who keep coming back. And if we can own that and other people could get with that and leave us alone, because, you know, it's no death. I mean, it's just the other side of the veil. Yeah. I mean, they still talk to us. I mean, they're still in communication with us. But it's the beauty of this, just thinking about, man, we don't have to pump water from a well. I mean,
we carry it anyplace.
And the guys don't have to just go down and cut a tree. I mean, and other people had to do that too. But other people came with the graces of land or with the graces of other things. They came, the country was willing to give them something. In fact, they were willing to take something from us to make sure that they, and make room for them. They took houses to make room for the highway.
Right.
The highway went through every major community in America and destroyed the community, because that's what the highway system did. They, you know, Eisenhower,
the railroads before that.
Yeah, the railroads.
The railroads did because the exact I lived, cut the land up.
That's right, and I lived on one side of the track, and some places with other people, and another part of the side of the track was us. But in Goldsboro, the whole train ran through Goldsboro, and that was the black community, that was the black township that the train ran through. And now they've moved it someplace else, so it's not in Goldsboro anymore, but it is still in Goldsboro. I mean, but it's in the fringes of Goldsboro, and so it was always something being taken away from us. And then we said, okay, just like the music, we just go create more music. I mean, so, okay, you
and
know,
we have a bottomless fount.
That's right. Exactly. Say that again, Ms. Day.
A bottomless fount.
That's right. That's
it. No,
that's
it just never stops. The creativity, and the gifts that we can bring to this nation and to the world are bottomless.
That's right. And you know, I mean, even
so
on
still
the
from us, you know, I mean, it doesn't speak. It doesn't speak to who we are. It speaks to who you are.
That's right.
And when then you steal from other people.
And I saw something on one of those YouTube places where some of the young people over on the continent is taking some of that rubber and made some of those old tires and made something with them. I mean, and they set up their own systems. I mean, they have been so creative. Yeah. I mean, the things they've done is because, okay, well, let's find a use for this. And this is what the Better Day celebration is. It's going to be this Saturday, March 23rd at Garfield Community Center from 11 to 1. Come and join us, celebrate, and acknowledge that you are the answered prayer to your ancestors. And if you're planning on coming, bring a picture of your ancestor. You know, I mean, you don't have to bring, ain't got to bring all 4,000 or 5,000 of them, but I mean, they with you anyway. How many you have? But bring a picture of your ancestors. And you know, and we'll end with the healing circle, and you telling in whatever story you might know, you know, because we get stories handed down, you know. I mean, tell something good about your people. If it ain't nothing but that peach cobbler your mama, your great grandmama could make. I mean, you know, she might not have been able to read. Honey. She might not have been able to read English and had to put an X by her name, but honey, could she cook? I mean, or could she sew? You can look at anything and make it. And you know what? They always made magic. If they didn't have nothing but one orange to go in that stocking, they made that place and put something in it for you. You know, and and did their best. And that's what this is about. It's fun. We've given our best to the place where we were stolen. I mean, we were stolen. We didn't bring ourselves here. I mean, that's the error or agony of this. We did not just pick up ourselves and say, come on.
I'm going to take a cruise.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. We came on a cruise ship. It's like, oh my God.
No, we did not take a cruise ship.
Texas, we're not going to let you tell. But what does the truth, why does this truth frighten people so much? What is about it?
I think that the truth frightens some people because they know so little about even who they are.
That's right. And we've learned that through the Paul Marcus Garvey Book Club. You're right.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Right. That when they hear this history,
right,
and they hear the cruelty and indignities that could be placed on other people by their ancestors,
that's right,
they internalize it.
Yeah.
Just the way we internalize sometimes the oppression that
that's
we've been given.
That's right.
We can overcome that. We can all overcome that.
That's right.
But we only do that through education.
And telling the truth. Okay, really.
Telling
and
the truth and telling the stories. Truth.
And telling the stories. And I understand it was a happening in time. It does not have to continue. You are the person who can say, no, that's a happening in time. But for me and my household going forward, we will not be a product of that. We will embrace humanity. We will do our life different. And that happening in time, I cannot unring that bell. But I personally can march forth in victory of knowing that it's a better day. And, you know, again, it's a better day conference. I mean, better day celebration in preparation for the conference. Saturday, March 23rd, Garfield Community Center at 11, from 11 to 1. Come and celebrate with us and acknowledge that we are the answered prayer. They prayed us up, didn't they? They were praying up. They knew they would never go home again. You know, never. Never, but they knew one day, and you know what? A better day was coming. But everybody who had children didn't live, and everybody who was part of the diaspora, who was there at this time we're talking about, they didn't have children, so they are not here. Only the people whose children lived is here.
Right.
And that's what this is about. Everybody's children didn't live. Just like today, whenever I pray for all the mothers who went home today without their babies. Every baby that was born today didn't live.
That's right.
Some mothers went home empty-handed in sorrow. Mm-hmm. Just like some of the mothers in Gaza are crying today about their children.
Right.
So we're the tree that they planted by the side of the river. We're the fruit of the tree.
That's right.
We're of the tree.
That seed that is planted with a prayer.
That's right. That's right. And we get to be part of that. We get to be. And then, you know, like I say, your nieces and nephews and my grandchildren, it's like, wow. And so the circle is still going. I mean, it's like it's still here. It's still here. And, you know, y'all, if we can see some of the folks, y'all still hate. Well, my
Lord. Yeah.
y'all still here? And now y'all got something that's called microwave, you know? What? And I ain't got to cook all day, and you got something called an Instant Pot?
Wait a minute. Y'all got a grocery store? You don't have to go to all these little sheds by the side of the road to get all your groceries?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Oh, but you got to, what is that box over there that got people on it? What's that box over there? They got people talking. When you get in the car, they got a voice in the car.
That's right.
Well, who's talking? Is that an angel voice or what's that in the car? So the midst of all that has come against us, we can find some joy.
That's right.
The midst of all of it. That's and right. It has been brutal. Mm-hmm. It has been brutal. And in the midst of that, yet we rise, and we can hear them. We can hear them sewing, or we can smell the aroma, because them old folks can cook. I'm telling you, you know, they could cook up something. I don't even have the capacity, you know, the strength or the will.
Okay.
But I used to have keys to other people's houses that used to love to cook. And I always had keys to people's houses, you know. I mean, when I was on the road from Seattle to Pure, up to see Joe Willie with my business, from Pure, I had keys in every county to somebody's house I could go to, whether they was home or not. And it was always a plate there for me because they know Miss Harriet might not be cooking. Especially if my kids got big. So, yeah. But again, it's a celebration.
Yes.
It's like through it all.
Yeah. It's that recognition of that prayer.
Of that prayer.
On that seed.
On that seed, by the side of the river, and we are it. And I'm just so grateful. And by the way, this program is a podcast. People can listen to it. But more importantly, you can still register to come to the Better Day Celebration on March 23rd, this Saturday, Garfield Community Center from 11 to 1. And let's rock this. Let's just let's just be children of joy. Because we're here. No, we're here. You know, we're here. And in this time zone, we're here in this dimension. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful. We're so full of gratitude. I'm full of gratitude for you, Sherry, and all of your aunts, all of your lineage and your family, and for Mona. Because we own the land of the native people.
That's right.
You know, they have survived.
That's right.
They've survived. They've survived through it all. I mean, 18 million or more might not have any children here because they might all been wiped out. But the native people who are here, they're here on the land. And like Mona got a whole village over there. In Yakima.
Oh, my God.
I mean, her village is growing 20, like I don't know what.
She's up to 28, 29 great-grandbabies.
Well, then she got a village. That's what I call it.
She got
it,
a
you
village.
Know? She got
definitely
a village.
Has a village.
Got a village. Well, let the village come to Garfield. Let the village come to the Garfield on Saturday, Better Day Celebration, March 23rd, from 11 to 1. Come and celebrate your ancestors. Come and be happy with us for the Better Day Celebration. Yeah. You going to be there, Miss Day? You going to be there?
I'm going to try and be there, yeah.
Okay, all righty. Well, hey, that'd be good. Yeah. If you don't stay the whole time, just come or either come to the end for the healing circle. So, you know that. Okay. Just do fit in where you get in, but we know that your heart is there. All right.
Yeah.
So this is good. You've been listening to Mother's Justice Show on 1150 AM, KKNW. Talking about the Better Day Celebration this Saturday, March 23rd, Garfield Community Center from 11 to 1 in Missouri Day. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
All right, then. Thank you so much. Take care. See you next week. Remember, it's a podcast. You can listen to Mothers on the podcast. Thank you.